Well, hey everybody, it's Chuck. A quick turnaround and we are already on FSD 14.1.1. I know a lot of folks out in California got out and did some quick night drives. I was sleeping when this came out, so congrats to the Tesla AI team on a very quick turnaround. You know, I didn't see any ADAS operators operating in the last couple days to validate this. So either they snuck by me, they didn't validate it, or this was just a small tweak. Rumors are this improves the brake stabbing that we've been discussing the last few days, but here's our version. We're not on build 38 yet, so there is a 2025.38 rolling out that has that Tron promo for Disney in there. We're still on the 32 branch, but we're on .8.6 now, and it does not look like the map data changed. But without further ado, I've got our FSD Memorial Park First Impressions Drive, and I was snugged up against the curve for you guys that time on that one, just to validate that it pulls right off the curve, no problem. Yeah, and here we go. So I'm not gonna do the drone shots or anything like that for these unprotected lefts. It is Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. This is not what I would consider rush hour time. So this is probably gonna be a gimme unless something fluky happens. Mostly what I'm looking for on this drive, and I hope we get some, ooh, a little squirrel there. I don't know, did you guys see that on the 360 camera out front? It didn't break at all. It didn't have any taps there. Is I'm looking for brake stabbing and I'm looking for lane change confidence. There's our NHTSA stop, wide open to the left, wide open to the right, just like I predicted, and we're gonna roll on around and join the left lane, I'm guessing. And away we go. Here we go. You guys wanna do that U-turn though, so we're gonna go ahead and edit the trip. We're gonna take out FSD South. We're gonna hit done there. We're gonna do our U-turn up here. And it's programmed it just fine. And then we're going to the supercharger, just like we did last time, to validate the backup in the, and I have it on sloth mode. I think I was on sloth. Let's go back into standard there, and I've got charger selected. So we're back to standard for a charger. The sun is at kind of a low angle today, kind of bright in my eyes. It'll be interesting on the interstate. Very bright, smooth as butter. No issues there, no traffic to contend with. Listen, FSD driving with no traffic, listen, it's just like being, you know, on a highway after the zombie apocalypse. If you got nobody to deal with on the roads are yours. This Tesla has no problem with that. Nor does it have a problem with traffic. I'm just trying to make the point that traffic interactions are where we normally see some, you know, brake taps or decision-making problems. It knows its world without, you know, anything to deal with just fine. So I actually do have some news. I'm gonna get a Model Y Juniper. I can't believe I'm doing this, but there were some considerations on the value of this car on AI4, the value of a Juniper on AI4 with the fascia camera, and some other considerations that are a little bit more personal. So I'm doing a trade-in of this car, which is a purchased vehicle, and it is underwater $15,000. So I still owe about $47,000 on this car, and the trade-in value on this car was $32,700. So I'm underwater on my loan, which does bring into, you know, the discussion point of I'm actually going to lease my next car for the first time. I've never leased a car in my life, but the rotation on this technology is so fast. The mindset I've had my entire life of capital ownership, least cost of ownership, you don't start making money on cost of ownership unless you own the vehicle beyond the point you are making payments, or that if you were to lease the comparative payments. I'm rotating these cars every few years, and I could be paying cash for some of the vehicles, but it's kind of like, why do that if the lease payments are within what you would be willing to use for cash flow versus spend the capital? Attention required. Same thing on the railroad tracks. We got that last week on the same thing, so increased attention required. So I'm just going to end that right there. We're not going to go into a whole lot of details, but I did get FSD transfer, which was another big decision maker. I purchased FSD on this for $8,000. I have FSD transfer going to the lease. I recognize at the end of the lease, I will be losing that FSD, which is one risk we're discussing. A little bit of a creep break. I did feel some brake stabbing there. A little bit. It was not, it was, you couldn't see it. I don't, if I have the CAN bus data on here, I want you to look and see if you can see any sort of tap, tap, tap back there. I felt brakes, but it was not like before. It was just, so it's like they turned the volume down on the brake stabbing a little bit. I'm going to finish up the Juniper discussion here. We do have a very large truck coming on narrow roads, which will be interesting to see. And it looks like we got some trash in the road here. Is there any? There's a little bit of a pause there. You see this truck coming up? He's using up most of the road. What's going to happen here? He's going over to the far right. Fine. It used to never do that because it was so scared of the right edge of the road, but it did it just fine there. So FSD transfer, so I'll keep that with me, the term alone. I am a little curious whether I should be doing a 48-month lease to transfer to AI5 when it comes out, or a 36-month lease for a little lower payment and transfer to AI5. We still don't know when AI5 is going to be available for mainstream. My personal opinion is all of the AI5 chips are going to go to robo-taxi right off the bat, and we're not going to see it into personally owned vehicles probably into early 27. So I'm thinking about a 36-month lease. I don't know. If any of you have ever leased cars, in the comments of this video, or maybe even if I put a clip on X, give me your thoughts on 20 or 24 versus 36-month lease opinions, if anybody's ever done it. All right, we have one car coming from the left. I can't see to the right yet because I need to creep out. Another little, you feel these brake taps? Okay, brake stabbing is still here. It's not stab and harsh braking, but its smoothness to the creep is not here right now. It would go out, stop, go out, stop, go out, stop. And then we jumped and went over to the turn lane. So no problem there. If this was a tweak to get FSD 14.1 out into more people's hands by just dialing back some of the harshness or adjusting the curves, so far I think that's what they've done. They have not retrained this model in that amount of time in order to do anything. So this is all post-training, going right through a yellow light, no problem. And I already said send it, because if you're on early access, I think you should have this because you're willing to accept the warts on any sort of early release software. If they can just tone down that harshness a little bit, and maybe that's what this 0.1 release is about. Maybe that's what they needed to send it. I already thought they should have, but maybe that's what they needed. All right, right turn here on a red light. Right on red is legal. There is a sign that you must turn right. Let's see how it behaves here. Is it full stop? And now we got the green, so it's not even going to have to do its decision there. Okay, so now we're on Wilson Boulevard. There's a pedestrian jaywalking up there, so we just kind of missed a great interaction opportunity. You see the person's going the other way, so we're not going to get any sort of, it didn't tap the brakes. It wasn't concerned about that at all. Last week when we did our first impressions drive, we kind of had the opposite with a person in the center turn lane coming towards us, and there was an aggressive braking situation that happened last week. So we'll see if anything like that happens today. We do have a puddle up here on the right. It went around it, and it's doing it again. I was going to say it went around it. In that situation, it did a complete lane change around it. It initiated that lane change in my mind because of that puddle. It just said, well, I can scoot over. Let's go ahead and do it. Because we need to be in the right lane for our supercharger exit here in about half a mile. Interesting that it did that. That, complete lane change versus just going around. So was that just a matter of convenience? I can change lanes? If nobody's next to me, I would have probably just done the swerve myself and kind of encroached across the lane and then continued staying in the right lane. It chose to go ahead and get in the left lane. But now with a half mile to go, I've got to do a blinker lane change to get over to the right. No big deal. It'll be able to do this no problem. I just, I'm not exactly sure why I chose to do that. I was going to edit my route, but we got a green light there to go. So I read a few of the posts from folks in California that drove it last night. I believe Zach noticed that the lane changes were better, the braking was better. I think Omar did say that it's good enough to, you know, kind of release, but it's not perfect, like meaning like he wished it was a little bit smoother. So I guess maybe the input is still mixed a bit about whether or not they fixed what they were after. The release notes look the same to me. I did post the release notes on X this morning. I haven't seen anybody highlight any subtle differences. Sometimes they've changed a word here and there. I didn't see that. Okay, and you know, went to curbside. I thought we had, we do have charger. Park charger is what I've got selected. Charger, okay, so now wide open chargers. You know, this time I'm gonna get out and plug it in just to see if there's any different behavior with like the human getting in and out and things like that. And I should put it in park. We're at the charger. Let me just go plug it in, go through the motions. All right, so I'm getting back in. We're charged up. I've got my 80% set. Leaderboard unlocked, so it's asking me to start playing buggy. You have enough energy to complete on your trip, so I can go ahead and acknowledge that. Okay, let's go. All right, seatbelt's not on. Cost me 4 cents. Self-driving button's available. Press the button, got a quick degraded message. Maybe it was doing some rerouting. This is, I don't remember that banner about how much I was charged. Do I swipe it away? I'm just gonna leave it up there and see what it does with it. But that was about as seamless as you could expect. I mean, I love not having to park at a supercharger. I can't wait to test this on the Cybertruck. Clear from the left, needs to creep from the right. Okay, clear, didn't do any brake stabs at all there. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and edit trip here and add some more. We got Memorial Park. I need to go to the Memorial Park cul-de-sac. Need to go to Memorial Park. Let's see, we got 5 points is after that. After 5 points is the Scotties. I'm trying to not get busted. Ooh, brake stabs there. Gosh, I hope you can see the Canvas data on this video. I really want you guys to try to visualize. Pay attention to the road, Chuck. I finally got one. I was wondering when you were gonna get me on that. It definitely is more tolerant on me editing the screen. I've already commented on that than it used to be. That was a long look at the screen before it kind of nagged at me, which is so much appreciated. You guys think I need to do a phone test on the highway again? It's probably still 6 to 7 seconds, but we'll do that on the highway. We'll see. The traffic's gonna be low again. Everybody's getting ready for church here in Jacksonville. That's what people do in Jacksonville on Sunday mornings. All right, getting in the right lane. I hope we have enough traffic to get a sense of will it aggressively lane change, but I have a feeling we're not gonna get that. We might need more testing. I'm just trying to get this first impressions drive out there for you guys to watch across the world. I know a lot of you in Australia and UK and Europe watch this stuff too. And then folks hoping to get this version just to know. Nice acceleration there. I'm in standard mode. We're clear back to the left. There's nobody to merge with. Blinkers on. Lickety split. So I already mentioned I'm getting the Juniper. The other reasons that I really am excited about the Juniper is right now I'm hearing a lot of wind noise. Now granted, I do have a camera on the top of the car helping with that, but the Juniper's comfort, ventilated seats, and quieter ride are another big reason for, you know, the upgrade. I'm really, really looking forward to those improvements in the redesign. Arguably, I shouldn't have gotten the Model Y when I did back in 2024, but we were kind of triggered to do it at the moment because my son Charlie, who you met yesterday if you watched that reaction cam video, needed a used Tesla. He was looking on the market for a used Tesla. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Why don't I sell you my Tesla, which was the 2020. And he was so excited to have an opportunity to buy that from me. Of course, he got the family discount. It didn't pay full retail, so it was an even better deal for him. But in selling this car, there's a little bit more residual value than anyone in the family right now is willing to pay. So, I'm doing the trade-in with Tesla for this one. At least that's the plan for now, but we'll see how it goes. All right, you see that? Blinker on. There was lane change hesitancy there. It tried twice to lane change, and there was nobody to contend with. So it's not as confident on this version as 13 still. They didn't polish that out. Now maybe it's a little smoother. I don't have the traffic here to detect, but by no means am I gonna say lane changing is fixed. It had the blinker on. I felt it to start to go left. It stopped. It put the blinker back on and then proceeded to the left with no traffic to contend with. Arguably the only issue it had to contend with was its own decision about am I turning right, do I want to get over and then come back right? So there might have been a little bit of lane selection logic in there about I need to be in the right lane to take this exit here. I don't think that's what was going on. It felt like the same indecision to commit to the lane change. That's only an N of one. We'll see if we get any other ones here on this little strip of I-10. All right, we are going to be full on blinding sun in our face on this drive here. So I'm gonna go ahead and put my visor down. Yeah, so there's full on sun in the front camera. That lane change felt fine. And here's the blinker again. Yeah, so those were both very smooth. Didn't have any issues there. 75 and a 55. What do you guys think about that in standard mode? If I go to chill, it didn't budge. If I go to sloth, boom, there it's slowing all the way down. All the way, there's nobody behind me, so I'm gonna keep doing this. So now it's at the speed limit in sloth. I'm gonna go back to chill, and now it's creeping back up. There's 56, 57. You know, the behavior chill used to have about getting in the right lane doesn't exist anymore. Chill doesn't mean chill like it does before. The interesting thing is sloth, it didn't get me in the right lane either. It just stayed here in this kind of left center lane and slowed all the way to 55. Before, the behavior was pretty aggressively to get over to the right and chill. All right, so it's kind of stabilized at 64. I just got passed on the left by a Jeep in chill. And I got a trailer passing me on the right here in chill. So I'm gonna go to standard and let's see if it's gonna continue to accelerate. I mean, I am going 11 miles over the speed limit, but I'm being passed by cars and even with landscape trailers next to me. So in standard, it's starting to creep back up. Now it's in the 70 mile an hour range. So chill and standard are not the same, but going into chill did not decelerate to a buffer like sloth does. Does that make sense? So when I went to chill after being in standard, it kind of kept it where it was. But when I accelerated into chill, it creeped up to a lower high limit than the lower high limit is in standard. Does that make sense? Sloth slows down immediately. Chill does not. I don't know how else to explain it. And just for grins, if I go into hurry, does it do anything different? Hurry, I'm in hurry mode. It's not changing lanes. It's not bumping into the left lane. It didn't need to. So no immediate behavior changes going into hurry here with traffic not constraining me at all. It didn't increase the speed to 80 or anything like that. So chill, standard, and hurry have got a little bit of subtle nuance to them that is context sensitive maybe to the environment. We just don't have visibility into the upper limits anymore, so we just don't know what it's using. highway to see if we see any kind of aggressive behavior or lane change behavior to go around some of these cars if they start to slow down. It's doing fine with the sun right in its eyes. It's not flinching at all. So I don't know if that's a hardware 3 issue that some people are talking about still. I have not really had that problem. Obviously, there's probably some specific ways of recreating the scenario, but I haven't had it in a long time. I did try to wipe my windshield down for you guys with some spray away, so the windshield is better, but I don't know, looking at it in the direct sunlight, it looks like I need to use a different rag. I was using a microfiber, but maybe it was a little dirty or something. All right, blinkers are on. I think the blinker was on for a little bit there. I'm not sensing any sort of jerkiness in the lane change. It's just kind of finding its way over to where it wants to be. All right, what do I have set? I think I'm going, I'm gonna go parking lot at Memorial Park so I can hopefully recreate the lane, the chain test. Sunday morning is just not a fair, fair is not the right word. It's not the time of day to do an FSD evaluation just because, would you see that? What did it go around? Do you guys see anything? The steering wheel went right and then left like it was dodging something. A little bit of hesitancy there to go right on red. The brake stabs were much, much milder. But I felt the tap-tap on its creep a little bit. Increased attention required. Pay attention to the road. Why is increased attention required here? Could it be the sun? The sun's right in my eyes. Maybe that's the sun? Surely it's not saying that for, like, this intersection. This intersection is... Maybe we got an increased attention required there for the sun. That might be a new one that we've never seen. Or never noticed before. What do you guys think on that one? Did you see anything different than I did? I do know that in the comments, a lot of people were referring to me not seeing all of the increased attention of the required notices. I do think that's probably very possible. So if you guys are seeing increased attention required alerts that I'm not commenting on, and you think you know what it was for, we need to start accumulating an opinion on when those are popping up, because I think it's still in its infancy, and the Tesla AI team is working on it, I'm sure. I kind of wish it was a little bit more of an alert, like a flashing blue or flashing red, so that it would catch my eye, because right now the font just popping up is almost like an alpha release, just to kind of show that there's an alert logic. Okay, brake stab there. That pedestrian over there is why. You see that? That was a bad decision. I'm gonna capture that on the camera. I haven't been doing a whole lot of snapshots. That guy waved at me. He wasn't coming across the road. It was obvious to me. I would have driven right through that. But it saw him and acknowledged, I'm gonna give you the right of way there. Now, granted, had he been a runner and was jogging and just didn't want to break his stride, he may have jumped out into the road. But that's not what was happening there. That was just a walker pedestrian that got close to the road, and we got a pretty aggressive yielding brake tap there. We do have a pedestrian that's probably going to cross the road here. Is he going to? Oh, he's going to wait. He's going to wait, and I'm going to have to. Okay, there we go. It was waiting on him to give a vector to cross the road there. So that was another good one. I'm going to give Tesla some screenshots. I missed that one, I guess. The pedestrian, I think Dirty Tesla used the term pedestrians are its kryptonite. I agree with that. That's what it's most cautious around. Boy, the sun is bright out here near the river. Now, I don't know. I've got parking lot set. These chains are here. You see them? I don't think it's going to try to park in one of these. Yeah, it's using the spot right here. I don't know. It's going to do a back end. I don't know that it's avoiding the chains. Oh, it changed its mind. Look at that. Why did it change its mind? It was setting up for a back end, saw more spots, and decided for a pull in. Now, that is not straight. Is it going to line itself up? Or is it? Oh, look at it. Yeah. Nice job, Tesla. That's good. You recognized your one shot, missed it, and you're lining yourself up better. That's better. That's good. I can show you in the cameras here. So we are not centered. You see on the right repeater, we're pretty close, and the left repeater, we're not. So the representation of the car was good. All right, so I'm gonna go ahead and start. Interesting parking logic. You know, that the changing of its mind there was interesting. Like how it was gonna pull in here, but it was a tight in between two cars. It saw it's wide open. Curbside there. I'm gonna let it park at the cul-de-sac section. Ooh, interesting. A little bit of a pause to see if it could get around this car without traffic. That was good. No issues there. On 14.1, it's decided to come back this way rather than go around the block like I used to kind of force it to. I don't know if I need to kind of change my POI so that it routes that way. Pedestrian crossing here, no issue. She will be beyond where we need to go by the time we need to creep. So there's our NHTSA stop, getting a good view. Smooth there. It did stop at the end of the creep. I felt it, but it wasn't bad at all. Okay, and turning into the cul-de-sac here, we're going to get a flashing yellow. Looks like we've got an opposing car that's also turning, so we should just roll this one. It should be very confident here. Okay, it looks like we might have some pedestrian fishermen down here. I see some fishing rods in a trailer. They might be out of the way. I'm gonna let it park here because I've got parking curbside. I don't have parking lot, so let's see what it decides to do here. Is it just gonna drop me off and stop like a... These are no parking, no standing spots here, so it can't park here. Okay, so it did curbside right here. We're not in a parking spot. This is kind of like an Uber drop-off scenario. There's no parking standing anytime signs right next to me, so theoretically this is not like it parallel parked or anything. I didn't see street parking as an option. I just had parking lot or curbside. Curbside, it's just got curbside. So I'm gonna go ahead and see. We're going to 5 points now. I'm gonna do... what are my options? I'm gonna go back to standard. Curbside is just curbside. So I don't know, I kind of thought curbside was gonna be parallel parking, not just stop and let you out like that. I don't know, what do you guys think? Why, it just kind of parked itself in the middle of the cul-de-sac. I'm trying to think, 5 points has got these parking spots. So I'm gonna make sure it's set for that because I don't want it to stop in the middle of the road at 5 points. Got some pedestrians walking. They're still protected by a red light. No issues there. Kind of a long wait here. I usually don't fast forward my video on this Memorial Park drive because I'm talking the whole time. I don't know if I will fast forward it through that or not. Okay, so we're behind a car that's going to probably go through this intersection with us that could give it a little bit of input as to how to approach the intersection. Sometimes lead cars can influence the behavior. A little bit of trash on the side of the road here. Didn't really see it go around it. If it did, it was very subtle. Okay, and we're gonna kind of take this right at this flashing light, and there's a lot of open parking spots up there, but they're angled parking spots. That's what it did last time. Oh no, don't turn, where's it going? Oh, it went somewhere different. Where are you going? Okay, wow. You're gonna park here. Okay, so this is different. This is not where I was going. Is it just gonna park here? All right, that was pretty poor. Can you see? I'm not lined up with the spots. The spots are angled more than I am. You can't really see it here. Where I was trying to go was up on this road here, but it didn't go there. You know, it's a short walk. It's not a problem. Okay, so now I started backing up, and it immediately saw that cross traffic, which was good. I just hit start, and I was expecting it to protect me, and it did. But did you hear the oral alert? It beeped as if I was driving. That was interesting, right? So in other words, it introduced a backup beep with that car, you know, that was in the way. I wasn't driving. I didn't hit the brakes, but it honored it, and it did it safely. But the beep was interesting. Got a couple ibis up here crossing the road. I don't know if you can see these birds. It's slow down for flying birds. How about that? All right, Tesla, you got birds in your model. I mean, that was kind of cool. You get to see, they look like they were rendered as assets as dogs, but they were definitely flying ibis that were crossing the road. So got a little bit of animal protection there in today's drive. So the 5 points behavior was different today with the exact same POI en route. Why would it be different? The lead car behavior maybe between the last drive, the spots it saw, I don't know why it was different. And I feel like this route is different. I can't remember which way it went last time too. But you know what? The mapping out of a new location would be different, right? So last time it had to back out of that spot and go around the block a different way. But because it parked in a different spot, its reroute to Biscotti's is different. So that makes sense to me. But why it chose to park where it did was not at the POI I chose, but it was within the vicinity. So I'm going back to my theory of there's a radius around a POI or a destination. And somehow it's just saying, how close can I get with what available spots? You know, back there at Memorial Park, it started to park in one spot and then it changed its mind and it went and parked at an easier spot. So there's like a thinking logic of choosing the best and most optimal spots. Maybe when it entered that radius, at 5 points, it was looking straight ahead and saw plenty of parking, and it said, let's go there. So maybe it was in its parking mode, if I can use air quotes to say that, and it chose a different parking spot based on what was available today. There's a whole lot there that I still want to understand with its thinking mode of parking. We used to have subtle cues on the screen, of when it would park and not park based on what, you know, symbology was up here. I don't know if we have any symbology of when it transitions into that parking searching mode yet. If anybody notices any or thinks they see any differences in the screen or behaviors, let me know, because that would sure as heck be nice to know. All right, got a big bus kind of coming around in front of us here. We're waiting on a protected left arrow, and then we will jump back onto St. John's Avenue. We're going to Biscotti's again, so I'm gonna also let it park at Biscotti's, and we are parking lot again, so that's good. Biscotti's might be busy this time of day, but there's probably gonna be parking. If you remember on this drive last time, it chose a handicap parking spot and we started that whole discussion. We'll see if it does something similar today. Little bit of brake tapping there, and it did brake tapping here last time too, but they've definitely dialed it down. So I'm all ready to say I know what this point release is about. It was about brake stabbing. I don't know that it was about better lane changing yet. I saw some hesitancy, but it wasn't aggressive or anything. To me, this feels mostly about dialing down the aggressiveness of the brake taps. They're still there, you just don't feel them as much. That one pedestrian that almost jumped out at me was probably the best example of an overreaction to a pedestrian that did kind of show the most aggressive braking behavior I've had today. I don't know, what do you guys think? I think that This is going to go wide, in my opinion. I don't see any reason why it won't. Now, I don't know what wide means. Maybe I'm misusing the term wide. What I mean is beyond this initial group. It needs to go to more people. Whether or not it's early access only, whether or not it's... I don't know what Tesla's going to do there. So when I'm using wide, I mean send it to more people than the small group that has it right now, to whatever group Tesla's comfortable with its current iteration. All right, so I'm in standard mode, and it's going 36 and a 30. I'm okay with that. That's not overly aggressive. It's speeding, though. Make no mistake, it's speeding. I don't think you would get a ticket for that here. Ooh, and it's braking. Ah, these ladies up here were stopped and definitely showing intent, and it stopped for them. There's not a crosswalk there, but there's a sidewalk. Completely the right choice because of their intent. That was not a mistake. They were waiting to cross. Good job, Tesla. That was a good one. All right, here we are at Biscotti's. Lots of parking today. The interesting thing is it's going to park to the right or the left. The POI is on the left, and it's definitely choosing to the right. Got some angled parking spaces here. No problem. Easy peasy. Did a good job. All right, let's immediately start driving again and see if we get a backup scenario. See the red? Okay, the red was up there for that car that was in the screen, but he parked and no issues there. But it was showing the visualization that it saw that traffic. Tiny little squirrel here crossing the road, and it stopped for the squirrel. You see that? It slowed down for the squirrel, no doubt about it. And then this red light, of course, was the other reason it was slowing down, but it was honoring the squirrel. I didn't see if the occupancy network saw it. I don't know. So small animals, including birds today, are being honored. All right, we're coming up on our S curve. We got some cones that are off the road, no construction here, but they're still being rendered, which is good. So it's kind of just still throwing the occupancy network blobs in there for the cones. I don't think I've had any interventions, have I? No, I hadn't touched anything. I got out of the car for the supercharger. That was like the only thing I did. Definitely driving over those manhole covers, so it's not second-guessing manhole covers today as potholes. Yesterday with Charlie, I think I did have an occasion or two where it kind of dodged a manhole cover as if it was a pothole, so there might be some good pothole logic in here. It's just having to interpret what is a pothole. And yesterday it was driving through flooded roads, completely flooded roads, 3 to 4 inches of standing water without a problem. It did have a lead car, a pickup truck that it was following. So I don't know if it would have behaved differently without that truck, but it was confidently going through standing water. And you can debate that. How does the car know it's 3 inches and not 3 feet? I don't know. Maybe that's where the lead car came in. Little traffic circle here. Smooth. No issues there. No traffic to deal with either, though, so there was no reason for it to tap its brakes. Easy, no traffic, zombie apocalypse mode. There's a situation up here. Maybe I need to start incorporating this into my attention the road, Chuck. That's what I want to do. I'm changing the route to, I may start including this in my test. And the reason is I want to go across these railroad tracks and maybe occasionally here and there pay attention to the road, Chuck. I actually got a beep that time. All right, I'm looking. Let me give you the side eye to my camera. Come on. All right. I'm looking at... All right. I touched the steering wheel. I was trying to look at the camera to make it go away, but it needed me to tug the steering wheel. So this occupancy network here is about these cones. The reason I'm going up to this pet supermarket parking lot is because of this very complicated railroad intersection in front of us. I don't think we're going to get a train today, but if I start putting this on my Memorial Park run, we'll get more train railroad track interactions and maybe get some trains occasionally. But also, now that we're seeing the increased attention required alert, where it decides to stop on the railroad track intersections, I think is important. You know, if there's traffic, it needs to give room so as to never actually pull itself up on the railroad tracks, things like that. So maybe I'll start to include this in the future. We'll do it today. So we're going to go straight now. And if you noticed, after I changed routes, it got over into this right lane, which is the go straight lane, whereas that's the left turn lane there. All right, any alerts here? I didn't see anything. So crossing the railroad tracks without an alert. Let's see where it decides to park in this parking lot. Wide open, so it can choose wherever it wants. It did the same thing yesterday too, where it kind of came around in this closest alley to the storefronts. I usually go in the middle back there because this is always busier with pedestrians right here, but it's using parking lot logic that we still don't understand completely. All right, looks like it's going to go to the right. No. All right, it's got a right blinker on. What are you going to do? Ooh, see that indecision there? You know, I think it was going around the handicap spots. I really do. If you see there, watch, its blinker went on, and then you saw some indecision, and it continued past four handicap spots. So I am absolutely sure is probably not the right word, but I am fairly confident that that little indecision and right turning was to avoid handicap spots. So Tesla, I may have said you're not allowed to park in a handicap and you needed to work on it, but I think you showed a little bit of a clue there that you do at least recognize handicap spots to not go in them when there are other options. Yesterday or day before, you did park in a handicap spot, but maybe it's because there were no other options and that's what the network decided. But you clearly bypassed and showed some intent to not park in those spots just then and went to the closest spot that was not handicapped. So good job there. Now, I'm getting my increased attention required here, and I don't know if it's because of this intersection or the railroad tracks. I'm guessing it's the railroad tracks. I don't know what you guys think there, but whoa, and is the sun bright in my face? So it's stopping right here. Okay, you see that? It's stopping. Oh, there's some indecision here. It's braking. It's acting like it's creeping. Ooh, wow. Okay, I'm going to give you the snapshot here just for grins because that's very... It wasn't aggressive braking stabbing. There were some things going through your little neural network brain there of what to do. Brake stab. Yeah, that was very uncertain. Boy, am I glad I added that intersection. That was really, really good to see. The railroad tracks added a dynamic to it that just changed its behavior completely from the rest of this drive. The rest of the drive was very confident. That was the most uncertain I have seen it on this drive today. It did it safely. I'm not saying it's unsafe, but you can feel and hopefully see in maybe the steering wheel behavior, and if I've got the CAN bus data, the CAN bus jerk action, it's just kind of not sure what it wanted to do. It was kind of like it was in creep mode. It definitely stopped behind the railroad tracks, and then it was kind of into, I need to scoot way up for the red light, but it had the added variable of the direct sun in its eyes, in its cameras, to contend with. So I don't know. What do you guys think of that clip? That was interesting to see. All right, we have a flashing yellow. And after this flashing yellow, this is a Sunday morning flashing yellow, meaning like low traffic, just kind of yield. The cars coming out of the public's parking lot would have to honor a flashing red. But as we pass through this last light here before the bridge, we've just got about a mile to go. And we'll do a little bit of a summary here. This was a very fast turnaround. I did not even see the ADAS operators revalidating it. Maybe they validated it somewhere else. Maybe they did a software simulator validation. Or maybe they knew exactly what they needed to do in post-training to dial down. Do you see this lane creeping over here? I got very close to that yellow line, which is a little unusual for the Model Y. That's a Cybertruck thing. There was this car creeping up on my right quarter panel. I don't know what that was. Maybe guys go back and look at that and see what you think. It was definitely easing over to that right, left edge on the bridge there that kind of caught me off guard. This vehicle is the only input I can think of that it was doing that for. The brake stabbing is lighter. It's still there. You can still feel its decision making. It's still happening during creeps, pedestrian interactions. We saw a couple of those today. And then like right turn on red or stop sign interactions where it's got to creep and get visibility and take into account everything that's happening around it. You're feeling those brake taps and a little bit of steering wheel jerkiness. We definitely got a great use case in a parking lot of avoiding handicap spots and choosing a legal one. We got to see a little bit more about the behavior of parking and how it chose a better and easier option after its first choice kind of maybe wasn't the best choice. We saw that at Memorial Park. We saw a change in parking location at Five Points today that was different than the last version. So a little bit of variability in the probabilistic nature of using neural nets for navigation. But listen, this is a solid version, and I'm not changing my opinion. Just like last time, this is safe for any sort of early access members. It's conservative. You can feel the roughness on the edge in decision making, but it's safe. You know, if you need to hear it from me, Tesla AI, this is a safe version. You probably don't need to hear it from me because you know what you're doing. But in any opinion, I think, I hope this goes to more people, and I hope that was the intent of this 0.1 release, is to just kind of get a quick validation and to send this much, much wider. I do not think this is a broad release. I do not think this is going to go to everybody with hardware 4. I think this is going to be early access or some sort of wave approach. Maybe they'll release another version to go wide. If you've got advanced on your software selection mode, maybe that's the filter, or if you've got early access or something like that, which they definitely broaden, maybe it should go to you. In any case, thanks for joining me on the Sunday morning. I hope you guys get this soon. Have a great day, everybody.